be. And when God gets there, you got a majority. We know that. But I'm glad you're here today. And I do appreciate all the good singing, the good sweet spirit. We've got our new lapel mic in, and the new mic that Brother James was using with his cute little purple end on it. Ain't that sporty looking? Ain't that good? Now he didn't remember which one he's supposed to pick up. Could you hear him better today? All right. Well, that's good. That's what we're shooting for, is when you buy new stuff, you want it to work like new stuff. So, and I got a discount, buy one, get one free. So, hallelujah. It's always good when you get a discount. But the Lord's good to us. I like to buy it on clearance, as we say, when it's on clearance, when you know the clearance rack. And go find, see what clearance is doing today. So, I want you to take your Bible this morning, if you will, and look in Matthew chapter number 14 with me. I would not classify this today as a very dynamic message, but I believe it is a message that God wants preached this morning. It's one of those thoughts. Brother James, God gave him a thought a while ago, and he stopped long enough to write it down. This is based upon some notes that I wrote down right before I got into bed last night. I actually thought I'd probably be up in the middle of the night working on this, but God got me up about 5:30 this morning and allowed me to put it together. And I know this is what God wants me to preach today, but if on my list of top 10 things that I have to say, boy, that there's going to really ring the bell, not when I depart, this wouldn't be one of them. But I believe it's what God wants for the day, so I'm going to leave it in His hands. He knew from the foundation of the earth what we'd be doing today and who'd be here. So, Matthew chapter number 14, we're going to look down in verse number 13, and we're going to read down through verse number 21. Now, when I start reading, you'll say, man, we've heard all about that, we know all about that. Well, I hope you've never heard exactly what God's given me, because until I heard a preacher preach a similar vein the other week, I'd never really thought about it this way. But we see in verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or victuals, we'd say. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake it and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, just on a side note, go back with me to verse number 13. We see some things happening here that kind of set the stage. What did Jesus hear? It said when Jesus heard of it, when he heard of the death of John the Baptist. And earlier in the chapter, we see that the report here of Herod cutting off John the Baptist's head and having it brought and given as a gift on a charger or on a platter. Her request was at Herod's birthday party, said, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. And that's what she got. Now, the king wasn't happy about it, but since he'd already given his word, he went through with it. By the way, a lot of times you ought to stop and think twice before you make a decision, even if you already give your word on it. You say, wait a minute, we ought to always keep our word. Sometimes your word may be contrary to what God wants for your life. I remember when Brother Larry, when Miss Dodd had to go in a nursing home, he called me and he said, this dog, that's the way he always referred to Rusty, is this dog. And this dog, like this cancer, this dog. You remember what you promised my mama about this dog? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, mama's in the nursing home. And he said, I'm thinking about just taking this dog down to the swamp and leaving him. I said, no. I said, I'll give your mama my word. I said, I'll be there in 3 days to get the dog. He said, I'm on my way to your house right now with this dog. But he gave me an out. He said, I can take the dog to the swamp and let him visit with the alligators for a while. Amen. But it said that Jesus heard of it, departed thence by ship into a desert place, and when the people had heard thereof. What did the people hear about? They had naturally heard, no doubt, about John the Baptist. That was big news of the day. But what they heard of it refers to in that scripture, they heard that Jesus had left where they was, and they wanted to be where he was. By the way, you ought to always want to be where Jesus is. I mean, you ought to want to be close to where God's are moving and God's are working and God's are speaking to your hearts. You ought to want to be, that's where I want to be. Amen. People say, well, I thank God God showed up. I get nervous when God don't show up. But I want to bring a thought to you this morning if I can. There's a lot of ministry going on right here in these verses. There's a lot of ministry going on. And we as preachers a lot of times will pick around with each other and say things like, what's going on in the ministry? Brother Larry will call, and if I'm not able to answer the phone or if it goes straight to voicemail, he will usually say something like this, well, I guess you're busy in the ministry. And by the way, there's plenty to do in the ministry. Amen. You are a part of the ministry. It's not just a preacher or a pastor that is in the ministry. You are part of the ministry of Welcome Baptist Church. But when we ask each other what's going on in the ministry, what we really mean is, what have you been working on today? I got to see Brother Brad Williams just a little while yesterday, and he, in just one day yesterday, before lunchtime, had been trying to help some children who their mother was in jail and they had nowhere to go. And he had been called to the assisted living place to help a man that was suicidal. He had a lot going on in the ministry. He had a whole lot going on yesterday. Now, I am about the ministry today. I'm trying my best to preach the Word of God. Amen. I'm trying to bring unto you what God give to me. Now, in our text, Jesus is about the Father's business. He's about the ministry of helping folks. And I want to look at the different various ministry acts that are going on in these few verses. Now, I'm not trying to bore you today, but I really want you to catch this. And it's going to probably start off slow. I hope in the middle it's going to be like driving a nail old-timey way. We used to have to drive them with a hammer. And first one is, I was thinking about this yesterday, Alan, I don't know why it come to my mind when me and Skip Way used to hang sheetrock. You know, you'd stick that first nail in there, just barely stick it in there, and then you'd hit that thing as hard as you could. The idea was, the less strokes with the hammer, the more money you make. It's the same way putting on shingles. If you run across a shingle man who still nails them down by hand, if he hits that roofing nail more than 3 times, he ain't making no money at the end of the day. Because the idea is you set it and then you pound it in. And that's the way I hope this message is. The first couple of points will set the nail and then we want to pound it in about halfway through. Amen. The first thing is we see there's a ministry of bereavement. Verse 13, Christ's cousin, John the Baptist, is Jesus' earthly cousin, right? His cousin, his friend, a fellow preacher, has just been murdered. He's been beheaded for preaching the gospel. He's been beheaded for preaching a message of correction. And by the way, folk are still trying to behead the preacher today for preaching a message of correction. And not just in the Middle East. Amen. It's sad to say this, but Christ did not have time to grieve. He had no one on earth to help him to grieve in his time of sorrow. I remember when my mom and dad died, I was told by well-intended church members, you need to take time out to grieve. I said, I'll have my time later on, not now. I said, somebody's got to try to pastor these folk. Somebody's got to try to be the shepherd. Somebody's got to try to be calm in all of this confusion and all of these sea of emotions. Somebody's got to try to stay straightened out on this thing and walk us through it. I don't know if I've ever had time to grieve yet. I don't think I have. My wife's not had time to grieve over her dad, and that's been over 10 years ago, her mother, she's not really, I've never really seen my wife be able to have time to grieve. Well, it's kind of hard for a Christian to grieve, really, if you have Christian loved ones that go on. We miss them here, naturally, and not a hardly a day goes by when I don't look next door and I catch myself as we're preparing a meal, and on the few times that my wife lets me cook anymore, she don't let me cook like she used to, but and I like it like this, by the way. Amen. Hallelujah. You can tell I'm starving to death. But I think about look up there and I say, well, I fixed enough so mama can have a plate. And we'd make waffles around the house. We got one of them big waffle iron things and we'd make waffles. And that waffle normally that recipe will make 4 waffles. That's one for me, one for her mama, and one for my mama. That's the way we done it for years. That's the way we done it for you. We had waffles the other day. You know how many it made? How'd that happen? I don't know either. God knows we just needed to. You say, that's strange, preacher. Why would you even bring that up? I don't know. It just came to my mind. I figured I'd throw it out there. Hey, I'm telling you, God knows what we need this morning, don't he? Amen? Hey, he said, hey, I'm telling you what. I'm glad that Christ, you see, we have something today that Christ did not have. We have someone that Christ did not have. You say, whoa, wait a minute. We heard this morning about that Trinity, that triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Who do we have today that Jesus did not have access to in his day? Well, he had access to him, but not like we do today. Remember when Jesus said, he said, I'm going away, said, I'm going away. He said, but I'm going to come again. But he said, when I get to where I'm going, when I get to heaven, he said, I'm going to pray or I'm going to ask the Father and he's going to send another one. In my place, a comforter. He's going to send one that's going to comfort you in your times of bereavement. He's going to comfort you when you don't know what to do. He's going to encourage you when you're at the end of your rope. He's going to instruct you on what to do when you're unsure about what to do. You see, Christ on this earth, when he was took on the body of a man, gave up his God-given ability to be everywhere at one time. He gave that up. But he said, when I go back, he said, the Father's going to send another one. He said, there's one more that y'all don't know about yet. And he said, he's going to be everywhere and he's going to indwell you. And he said, I love you and I'm with you, but I can't indwell you like he can. But there's one coming that can indwell you and empower you and give you strength. And he'll be there when you need him. So we see the ministry of bereavement. You see, the multitude that followed after Christ, honey, they were not bereaved over John the Baptist. But Jesus was. When he heard of it, he immediately said, we need to get away from here for a little while. He said, I just need to get away for a little while. He said, I need to be alone. I need to pray. He said, I need to talk to the Father about this. But he never got an opportunity, did he? You know why? Because there's more ministry that's got to be done. He's like me. I'm not putting myself on a level with Christ, but When my nephew came to me and he held my hands and he wept and he said, you've got to release some of this grief. You've got to have a time for you. And then in the next room, there's somebody squalling out and I don't have time. And Jesus finds himself in just such a predicament here because there's more ministry that's got to be done. You see, there's a ministry of burdens. By the way, the burden bearing ministry is a great ministry. And it's most time overlooked among God's people. Because we say, well, you know, they need to suck it up and just tough it out. They need to just suck it up. I didn't have nobody to help me. Now, Jesus didn't say that, did he, Brother James? He didn't say, nobody's here to help me. This is my time now. Hey, this is my time. I'm the one. Everybody ought to be doing something to help me. No, he didn't say that. Look at verse 14 here. We'll look at these verses again real quickly, 14 through 16. It said, when Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and he healed their sick. Boy, the burdens never stop, do they? For Jesus Christ, the burdens never stop. If you're in the ministry of doing the work of the Father, the ministry never stops. Hey, you can be sick. I don't care. The clock don't stop ticking. Amen. Hey, you can hey having a down day or a bad day. Guess what? You don't get to take a day off. I used to tell my men that worked for me at the sheriff's office, I said, hey, when you make the big bucks, you don't get to sit on the bench. Get in and play. You say, you was mean. Yes, I was. But I expected perfection. Hey, man, I didn't want nothing but do the job you're getting paid to do. You know what Jesus wants out of you today? Do the job you've done been paid to do. You say, wait a minute, I didn't get paid. Yeah, oh yeah, you did. Oh yeah, you did. On a bloody hill called Calvary. You was bought, paid for. Hey, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You know, we ought to start acting like we are what we are, and we're slaves to the master, amen? And quit trying to be our own person and be our own boss and just settle down and say, whatever God says do, that's what I'm going to do. You know what? If people would get that attitude, the house of God would be packed out 3 times a week. Look, verse number 15 with me. It says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. That means it was not like a desert like we think about the Mojave Desert, but it was more of a wilderness type place. We'd say out in the boondocks, out in the middle of nowhere. And the time is now past in the multitude. And it's, in other words, what they're saying is, Jesus, that's enough of this ministry stuff. It's getting late. You know, it's long past 12 o'clock. I mean, it's, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of church is okay, but y'all done gone crazy. How many of y'all's relatives told y'all that before? A little bit of religion's good, but y'all done gone Jesus crazy out there at that place. Look at what they said. And they said, the time's now spent, now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some victuals. Said, let them go on to the McDonald's and the Hardee's and get them something to eat, because they, all this crowd ain't eating with us. Y'all ever had anybody invite themselves to eat with you at your house? I mean, they show up at supper time and they always say things like, well, don't let us keep you off meeting. You ain't going to keep me meeting. When I'm ready to eat, I'm going to eat. If you need help, I'll help you, but I ain't going to help you every day, okay? Look here at verse 16. It said, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give you them to eat. There's a ministry of burdens. The disciples basically said, hey, enough is enough. We need a break. We're at the breaking point. Their response to the need of others was, send them away. Y'all shoo now. Get on down the road. Have a blessed day. God bless you. Love you. Mean it. Bye. See you. Wouldn't want to be you. Hey, I know a lot of Christians that way. Bless your heart. You know, that's what you say in the South when you don't know what else to say. Bless your heart. Oh, bless your heart. Yeah. You have a blessed day now. You have a blessed day now. Oh, I mean, I know people say that, and I think they mean well, but I think most of them just don't have the first clue, really. I mean, hey, I am blessed. I'm saved. But I ain't having a real, you know, sometimes it's like this, you know, I'm saved and I'm blessed, but I just ain't having a real good day right now. I mean, I'm here at the doctor's office because I ain't having a good day, you know. You don't ask somebody, how y'all doing when you're at the funeral home? How do you think we're doing? I mean, when you're in the doctor's office waiting, you'll see somebody, hey, how y'all doing today? That's what they asked me, the doctor, how you doing today? I said, I must not be doing too good if I'm here. You know, really, think about it. Think about what you say before you say it, right? The disciples said, hey, Jesus, this is enough, man. We got to have a break. And what did Jesus say? They need not depart. There ain't no use in sending them away, boys. Now, it's interesting to me. You see, read the other, Brother James was teaching this morning and preaching on the other gospel, the gospel accounts. Now, we don't see in Matthew's account, if I'm remembering what I just read right, we see really here no mention of the boys' lunch, do we? It just said what they had. Now, it's interesting to me, honey. The disciples said, what'd you say? They're already looking for something. That's right. But it's interesting to me that they told Jesus, send this crowd away. Let them go find them something to eat. And they ain't even got nothing to eat. Just interesting to me. I don't know. Now, are we together so far? There's a ministry of bereavement. There's a ministry of burdens. You know, that's the same Savior we serve today. When you come to Him and you have a need, He don't send you away. Hey, He ain't going to send you away empty. He's got what you need, and He freely gives it. He's our burden bearer. Thanks be to God, we have one who has our burden for us. And I'm glad about that. I am. But then the third thing, there's a ministry of blessing. Now look with me at verse number 19 here. Verse number 19, and He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed it. We're going to stop right there for the sake of my point I'm trying to get to. There's a ministry of blessing. He blessed it. In other words, He was thankful for it. That's what it means. I studied that up in its exact context there in the Greek, and it meant to be thankful or to give thanks. When we say, I don't know how y'all say it, but we say it out in Orange Grove, like, who's going to ask the blessing on the food? Who's going to ask the blessing on the food? Now, you know, I know some people say, who's going to say grace? But we normally say, who's going to ask the blessing on the food? And my daddy, bless his heart, his whole life, all I ever heard was, accept our thanks, pardon our sins, for Christ's sake, amen. That's the way he gives thanks for the food. Accept our thanks, pardon our sins, for Christ's sake, amen. If every now and then I'll ask my brother to pray at Christmas or something like that, you know what he says? Accept our thanks, pardon our sins, for Christ's sake, amen. They don't always ask me to pray. Because I'll usually pray the gospel out before I get done somewhere along the line. Amen. Thank God for Jesus who saves or something like that. I'm glad Jesus wasn't a Mormon or something like that, amen. I'm liable to say anything. I'm liable to say most anything, amen. Hey, thank God. Hey, He gives us what we need. But not only that, He blesses, and He blessed what He had, amen. Hey, there should be a ministry of blessing in your life. Are you thankful for what God's done? And for what God is doing? We sat there last night. You know, it's a shame. It really is a shame. I'm about embarrassed to say it. But you know, when you're younger, you go in the store and you go to get what you got to get. When you're younger, you do that. I'm telling you, you young people, you don't know understand this yet, but you will one day. I hope you do, anyways. And then you go through a phase of your life when you have children and the house is, you ain't got enough money to do nothing. You go in the store and you look at the things you wished you had. And one day, when I get $1 million. And you sit around and say, what would we do if we had $1 million? What would we do? I wonder what we'd do if we had $1 million. And now me and my wife, we go in the store and we just walk around and say, you need anything? I don't need a thing. You need anything? I don't need nothing. What are we here for? We're just walking around. We do that a lot when we're on the road. Because you know, when we're home, we're either mowing grass or she's working in the garden or something or running here to the hospital or running there or doing something like that. But when we're on the road, if we're not careful, we'll just be couch potatoes. And normally when we have that about 2 hour span between a morning service and a nighttime service, we'll say, let's go. If we can find the mall, we'll just walk around the mall like all the other old people. Yeah, we walk around the mall like all the other old people. Or we walk around Walmart, not looking for nothing, but we're just looking. Hey, I didn't know they had such a thing as that. That'd be pretty neat if you needed one, I guess. And then you put stuff in your basket, and then you get up, we don't need this, and go put it back, you know. Been there, done that. I mean, we've done all that stuff. You know, but there was a time when, like last night, we were sitting there and was trying to something that used to, you said, well, we know what we're going to have for supper tonight. We're going to have taters and beans. And we're going to have beans and taters tomorrow night. Yeah. And then if everything's real good and we have a little extra money, we might have taters and beans and cornbread on Friday night. And if we can catch some fish, we're going to have a little fish here after a while. If you can go out and shoot a squirrel or something, we'll have some fried squirrel. We'll have something. It just depends. Boy, we're going to be thankful for what God brings in. Now we sit around at night and say, boy, I wished I had this or I wished I had that. And you don't need nothing. You know, and I'll get to rumbling around. I know y'all don't do this, but I get to rumbling around the kitchen at night. So what are you looking for? I don't know. Well, tell me what you want and I'll get it for you. I said, I'll see it. I'll know it when I see it. And I'll get to asking and inquiring about, no, we don't have any of those. No, we don't have any of those. And I'll come back in and sit down. She said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm just going to drink a glass of tea. Don't need a thing. But you know what? We ought to be thankful for everything we have. I mean, we ought to be so thankful for everything. I mean, we go to Hardee's now and get that big bag thing and split it. I mean, we just don't eat that much anymore. We don't have that kind of those kind of needs anymore. And I guess people look at us and they think we're just pitiful. But I mean, you know, get a sweet tea and stick two straws in it. I mean, we just honeymooning again, amen? There's a ministry of bereavement. There's a ministry of the burden bearer there, but there's a ministry of the blessing. But the fourth thing, and here's where I've got to slow down. We're going to try to drive this nail home. There's a ministry of breaking. Verse 19, Jesus said, it says in the Word of God, said He blessed and break. He blessed and break. We don't like breaking. To break something means some force has to be applied. To break something is not usually easy, and it's not convenient, and it must be done carefully. Oftentimes, after God blesses you, there'll be a time when God will have to break you. Now, His breaking is not to harm you. His breaking is not to damage you. His breaking is to use you. I preached a message some, but I guess it's been several years ago now. And I give the illustration. I brought a brick in with me and a brick hammer. And I brought in, my illustration was that how the brick mason, when the brick mason is building the wall, or he's building the, putting the brick veneer on a home or a church, say, he cannot always use whole bricks. It wouldn't make sense. It'd be like stacking blocks, one on top of the other and never offsetting the joints. And by, when you do that, the wall falls over. Are we together on that, right? What that brick mason would ultimately have to do at some point, he has to break a brick. Sometimes he wants 3/4 of a brick. Sometimes he needs a half brick. Sometimes he needs a quarter of a brick. But it takes a skilled mason to know how to break the brick without destroying the brick. Now, a brick mason, Mr. Lewis Thompson, that did the foundation on my house, he would take that brick in his hand, and you know how those old brick masons would toss that brick around in their hand? It's almost like they're feeling the weight of it. And he'd lay that brick and he'd take a hammer and hit it one time. And he'd have exactly the size brick he wanted. And I didn't see him mess up many. Every now and then you'd have one that had a cast, would have been where it was casted, had a little flaw in it. And it might not break just right. But he didn't have all these saws like these guys use, where they give you an exactly fine, smooth cut. But guess what? I got a good foundation on my home. It ain't never give no trouble. Because the skill of the brick mason breaking the brick made the brick useful. And by the way, what he broke off, honey, he didn't throw it away. He set it to the side. He said, we'll need that one again in about another row. You see, when God does a ministry of breaking on your life, He's merely making you useful for some other purpose. You see, God can't use most people that I know, God can't use them in the shape they're in. Yeah, we usually think about, well, He's got to scrub us up and clean us up, and He's got to get us right so He can use us. No, He can use you pretty good, but you got too much junk hanging on you, so He's got to break some stuff off. You see, your life will never be all that it should be or could be until you experience the ministry of breaking in your life. You know, I would have never known what it's like to be in pain if I'd never experienced pain. I'd never know what it's like to be lonely if I'd never been lonely. I'd never know what it's like to hurt until I'd been hurt. I'd never know what it'd be like to have emotional pain if I'd never experienced it. Be depressed if I'd never experienced it. I have preachers now call me from all over this part of the state that have known me, and they've known some of the challenges our church has faced. And there's one dear preacher friend of mine, and he'll call me sometimes, and he said, "I got a question." He'll call me Dr. Fawcett. He said, "Doc," he said, "I got a question." And he said, "I know you've probably been through this, but I need some help." God allowed me to go through that so I could help him. I talked to a preacher friend of mine this morning, and he called, and he had a question. And I knew the answer. Why? Because I've been through it. Amen. I knew the answer. He asked me again about something that was happening and going on in his family, that they were experiencing in their family. And I was able to give him some advice. You know why? Because I've already had that ministry breaking in my life. I knew exactly what he was going through. But let me tell you this about the breaking of the bread. I'm talking about the breaking of you, the breaking of your personality, the breaking of you emotionally. I was reading a book the other day, and it talked about being in the ministry and being productive and successful in the ministry. And one of the things that the writer wrote, and it's been mulling over in my mind, and probably where God brought a lot of this message from, as I was thinking about what that writer wrote, Brother James, he said, the best thing you can do is get broken as soon as possible. He said, but I don't want to be broken. I don't want God to break me. I don't want God. Hey, if you don't want to, guess what? He will. But I noticed some interesting things about this bread. This bread had to be broken in order for folks to get fed, right? But the bread had to be brought to Christ first. He didn't go get it. He said, bring it to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and they brought it to him, amen? Hey, they said over there in verse 17, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. Had to be brought to him. The bread not only had to be brought to him, but it yielded to the touch of the master. You say, bread ain't got no personality. It couldn't go nowhere. I know that, but I'm trying to make an application. You got to bring yourself to God. You got to yield your spirit to God. You got to yield your life to God. You got to yield your will to God. You got to yield your personality to God. And you got to take everything that is you and dump it out on the altar and say, God, break it up ever how you think it needs to be fixed to make me useful. Because you won't be useful until you do. You say, wait a minute, I got a lot of education. I'm smart. Hey, I'll tell you what, man, I got a good education. I have a lot of charisma. People listen to me when I talk. Hey, I tell you what, I don't need no work in my life. Guess what? God might not want you like you are. Amen. There's a preacher, I can't call his name right now. I think his first name is John. Diane will remember exactly who I'm talking about when I start telling it. John had meningitis. And he had so much damage to his brain that when he recovered physically, he did not know how to read. He's blind now. He didn't know how to read. He had lost every bit of his memory. He had a wife, still does have a wife. And he had to be told, as he was, he can see now a little bit. He wears very dark glasses because any light hurts his eyes. But he was a preacher and pastored a great church. But he had to learn how to do everything all over again. He's gotten to where he can see good enough now. Sometimes he's got a little scooter that he drives. He had to learn how to speak again. Said he was riding his little scooter in a little town there, and the policeman stopped him. He said, are you drunk? He said, no, I'm a preacher. That's just the way he relates things. But he talks about what God has done in his life, and he still preaches. I heard him preach at the Sword of the Lord Conference of the Union. He preached a great message. He wears a little thing in his ear like you see the FBI and the CIA wear. And he studies and he memorizes. He's got to where he can read again some now, and he studies and he memorizes his notes. And if he loses his place, his wife tells him in his ear where he should be in his notes. You say, if all that stuff happened to me, preacher, I'd just give up. That's what the devil wants you to do. when trouble comes, when despair comes, when it gets like you at the end of the road and there ain't nowhere else to go, the devil wants you to sit down right there and pout. Boy, there's been times in my life and I said, boy, the best thing, the smartest thing, the only thing I know to do is just sit down and pout. But something inside of me, like a fire burning, says, get up and go back to church. You've got something that'll help them people now. You didn't understand it before, but you do now. Get in there and tell them folks what God's doing. And all because God broke me. Yielded to bread had to be yielded. Have you yielded your life to the hand of God? As God breaks you, you may think it's for your destruction, but it's for the good of others and for your good too. The fifth thing, I'll move along quickly. I'm going to slow down again in a minute, but I'm moving. There's the ministry of being a part. We see that in verse number 19 too. If you look there with me, it says he took the five loaves and two fishes and looking up to heaven, he blessed it. That's the ministry of blessing. And break, that's the ministry of breaking. And he gave loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now that's interesting to me. There's a ministry of being a part. Who served the multitude? The very ones who said send them away. The very ones who said we don't have enough. I thought this was supposed to be our time. You see, there's a ministry of being a part. You can be a part. You can be a part of what goes on here. You can be a part. You remember when our choir used to be full? You could be a part. Hey, that crowd that left ain't coming back. Somebody else needs to say, I'll be a part. I can't sing. Guess what? You think I can? I don't know anybody in this church that really has a great ability to sing. But we sing for the glory of God. We're not professional entertainers. This is not the primitive quartet that stands and sings every week. You ought to pray and ask God, God, I want to be a part of the ministry of this church. You say, well, if many more people get in the choir, there won't be anybody sitting out here to sing to. Guess what? They're not singing to you. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you're not our focus of why we sing. I dealt with that when I came here. We started the choir. We had eight people, no piano. And we had one lady sitting on the tour. We begged and begged her to get in the choir. She said, I'm letting y'all sing to me. I said, we ain't singing to you anyways. It is said that 10% of the folk in the church do 90% of the work. And that's true. We don't like to hear that, but it's still true nonetheless. When you see God move, you should want to be a part. You ought to just be begging God to give you somebody to carry a little broke off piece to. Amen? They say, well, they don't need that. They need more. You ever had nothing? You ever got close to having nothing? You'll take anything. People think I'm lying when I tell it, but that one year we were having a real hard time. We fell on real hard times financially, and we didn't have much food, and we didn't have no furniture in the house, and we sold the furniture in the house to pay bills, and I took parts off of cars and sold them to pay bills, and trying to just keep our head above water. And that year, for some strangest reason I'll never understand, and I've never seen it. I've been watching and being a part of farming that land out there for 53 years. And I've never seen it before then and never seen it since then. We had so many potatoes. My grandpa and my daddy got tired of picking them up and said, just leave them there and let them rot. And we got potatoes on top. My wife made everything but potato wine. I mean, she made hash browns, she made sweet potato, boiled potatoes, she made baked potatoes, she made french fries, she made every kind of potato you could think of, but thank God we had potatoes. We didn't have potatoes before, but we have potatoes now. Right. That's why I say we had taters and beans and taters, amen. I loved it, amen. That was a blessing. That was a great blessing, amen. We took off like a bunch of morons one time. I took my whole family off camping one time, and we didn't have no food, didn't have no groceries, and nobody asked. Nobody stopped long enough to say, what are we going to eat? They just said, we're going camping. Yay, we're going camping. Let's go. Woo, we're going camping. Let's go. Didn't think about, ain't got no Pepsis, ain't got no Coca-Cola. We just going to take water. We just going to drink water. And we got ready to go, and my daddy, in all of his wisdom, said, son, Hope you have a good time. Be careful. Have you given any thought to what you're going to eat? I said, well, I don't know. We going camping? My daddy gave me a box. Daddy used to take, we call them beer flats. You know what I'm talking about, a little cardboard box. He'd take beer flats and fill them up with tomatoes. Took one of the beer flats and filled it up with tomatoes. He said, here. Yeah, you have something to eat. You can go camping and have something to eat now. Guess what? We had tomatoes for breakfast. We had tomatoes for lunch. Bet you can't guess what we have for supper. Tomatoes. You say, that ain't enough to get by on. I don't know. I'm still getting by pretty good on it. Amen. You see, we look at things and we say, we want more. We got ready to go to Tennessee the other day. Left here the other Sunday night. Last Sunday night, I guess it was. My days run together. Sunday night before that. Little service engine light come on the car. I ain't never done that. I ain't never done that. But come on that time. So, well, you know me, I have such great faith. Thing probably blowed up. Here we are. Now, we don't need this, you know. That's what I say. And I said, well, what are we going to do? I said, I'll take it to my nephew in the morning, let him check it. And if he says it's okay to drive it, we'll drive it. If he says not, we'll just have to take a truck. It's all I know to do. We got to be in Tennessee in the morning. It's all I know. I'll be in Tennessee by lunchtime. So I got up that morning early, got everything, finished packing up. I did, by faith, go ahead and pack that car and took it up there. And my nephew checked it. He said, oh, he said, you got a bad gas cap. Most likely it's just a bad gas cap. He said, just stop at AutoZone or somewhere and pick you up a gas cap. You'll be okay. So he reset my little light, stopped at AutoZone, got me a gas cap, and drove. Guess what? Wednesday night in Tennessee. Left church. Bing. You know what I said? I knew it was too good to be true. I knew it wasn't going to be lucky enough to be just a gas cap. I knew it. You know, I got a whole lot more faith than y'all do. I know y'all be saying, woo, glory to God, the light's back on. Woo, look at here. Hallelujah. Not me. This thing's going to blow all to pieces like a rubber band tied up tight before I get home. Brought it back home. Took it back to my nephew. He said, did you get a gas cap? I said, yeah. He said, well, it's still saying this. That's what it is. I said, I don't care what that little machine says. He says, oh, he said, I know what it is. He said, but I ain't got time to mess with it right now. I said, well, is it okay to, he said, oh, drive it. It ain't gonna hurt it. But you know what I wanted? When the light come back on, I said, I knew it wasn't enough. I'm just telling you like I feel sometimes. You feel the same way. You know, we ought to give thanks for the little things, right? Amen. Give thanks for little things. And then there's a ministry of being apart. Thank God we can be apart. And the sixth thing is, real quickly, I'm trying to get done. There's a ministry of the baskets. Verse 20 says this. It says, let me turn the page here real quick. It'll take a second. There we are. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. So how in the world, how them little fishes, them little biscuits, did they end up having 12 baskets left over? I don't know. How are we still here? It's the ministry of the baskets. They started off with not enough. Listen to this. Work out this math for me with them Orange High School educations. They started off with not enough. They ended up serving over 5,000 folks. And now they're taking up 12 baskets of leftovers. Not fish heads, not bones. No, this is food that can be eaten later on. Say, where'd 12 baskets come from? I don't know. There's 12 disciples. The number 12 means the placing of things in a perfect order. Thought that was pretty interesting. I believe Christ used the events of the day to prove that He's God. And He's God of perfect order. Could it be that there was 12 empty baskets because there had been a time when them baskets was full, but now along life's way, they've give out and they ain't have nothing? How did Christ fill up all them empty baskets? Well, it's real simple. There had to be
He had a burden. Listen to me real close. He had a burden even when he was bereaved. He blessed it even though it was not enough. He broke it. He not only broke it, but he allowed others to be a part. Because I believe the way I understand that as I read that account in the Word of God, he broke off a part, Diane, and he gave it to a disciple, and he said, "Now you go feed your bunch over there." Because they had them set in order. And as he took his piece out, and he came over here, and he'd give you a little piece. He'd give him a little piece. He just went on down, rode. Now he started off with a little piece of bread. He said, "That ain't going to last long. I'll be back in a minute. Just hold on a minute. I'll be right back, Jesus. What am I going to do with the rest of this crowd? They're going to stone me when they find out there ain't enough for them." And he fed them all. They fed them all just like that. You see, he let them be a part. You know what? That's the model of the local New Testament church. You don't have a dictator that stands behind a pulpit. That's why we have a choir that sings, and we have specials that sing, and we have musicians, and we have people that ushers, and we have different people that do different things, and you have an opportunity to clean the church, and you have an opportunity to do this, and you have an opportunity to do that. Why? Because we want everybody to be a part. You want to get a blessing, don't you? Don't you want to be blessed? That's the only way you're going to be blessed, to get in on this thing and have a part in it. I mean, really, you can sit there and enjoy it all you want to, but you want to really get blessed, you'll be a part of it. He allowed others to be a part. Now here, there'd have been no filling, no taking up the leftovers had there not first been a breaking. I got two things I want to ask you today, and I'm done. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Is God breaking you today? Have you ever experienced a breaking? I know some people, it seems as though they have never experienced a breaking in their life. It's not that I think that they got more than I got. It's not that I think that they're wealthy and I'm not. It's not that I think they got nicer things than I got. That's not what I'm talking about. I've just never spiritually seen a breaking in their life. They just seem like they just merrily, happily go on without a thought in the world of what's really going on in the world around them. They don't give a thought of what's really going on as far as the needs of others. They don't give a thought about missions. They don't give a thought about the ones in need that are sitting on the church pew with them. They don't ever have a kind word for nobody. You know why that is? They've never experienced a breaking. Because once you experience a breaking, if you ever at the end of your rope and your phone rings, or somebody knocks on your door just for a visit, you'll do that to somebody else one day. You know why? Because you have